Welcome back for the final installment in Trust. We're going to be talking about another aspect of the five C's of trust, but let's review. Again, my name is Kurt Mortensen, and we're talking trust. First one we talked about was character, then it was competence, then of course there's confidence, and then credibility, and today we'll be talking about congruence. Great persuaders who create trust are congruent. When things match, we don't notice. But if something seems off, it grabs our attention either consciously or subconsciously. That's the critical thing. When you meet someone for the first time, that first 30 seconds, it just doesn't feel right. They just didn't trust you. They might not be able to put their finger on it. Many times that is your congruence. Congruence is when your words match your actions. Agreement and harmony between what you say and what you do are paramount to instilling trust in those you work with. The more consistent and congruent you are in every aspect of your life, the more honest and genuine you're perceived to be. If you believe in your message, you'll practice what you preach. If you practice what you'll preach, you'll be more authentic, and the doors of trust will swing wide open for you. When you possess congruency, there's no need to manipulate or camouflage your behavior. So we're taking a look at your consistency. Do your words match your actions? So bottom line is, are you congruent with your last interaction, your reputation, or history? Do your nonverbal behavior match your actions? Are your emotions congruent with your message? What are your audience's expectations of you and your message? When your past history and your message don't match, flags of incongruity will wave in the audience's face. Suspicion will be roused, and your audience will start to look for things that are wrong with you and in your message. This inconsistency will decrease your ability to gain influence and trust. That's because humans are natural lie detectors. When we attempt to fake congruence, we must also spend our time and energy trying to fake our message. It takes a lot of mental energy. Just tell the truth, stay focused, and you'll be congruent. It's like your clothes. When your clothes match, we really don't notice, but when they don't match, we really notice. These are the red flags of subconscious triggers. Remember, most persuasion and trust involve a subconscious trigger. It could be a gesture. It could be mannerisms in your face, anything nonverbal that could trigger incongruence, which triggers distrust. So let's talk about the research. We talked about in the first session, the dental study where they brought the patients in. Remember that one where the dentists were pretending that it was a painkiller and it was a placebo, wasn't actually a painkiller, and most of those patients felt a lot of pain. And then the next time, the dentist thought it was actually a painkiller, but it was a placebo again, and most of those patients did not feel pain. They also saw this during the Korean War. They ran out of morphine. When the doctors administered morphine or the placebo for morphine, the soldiers felt a lot of pain. But when the nurse did it, they didn't feel pain. Why? The doctor knew it was a placebo. The nurse didn't know it was a placebo. Because we pick up between your nonverbal behavior and what you actually do. Even though you don't know you're doing it, we pick up on what we call these micro expressions, just little things that you're doing that cause us to feel incongruency, to cause us to feel that we shouldn't trust this person. And when you look at the research of nonverbal behavior, the study shows that those that can read facial expressions are more successful in life, make more money, have better relationships. That's just how it is. Most people haven't trained themselves to really be aware of reading other people, because you can read people like a book. Now, most people are reading you subconsciously, but it helps you out to be aware of what you're doing that could trigger distrust. So let's talk about a few of those. When somebody's rejecting you, what are you looking for? Well, short answers. They're done with you. They want to leave. Their eyes will drift. They'll be looking at anything but you. And their shoulders will be angled from you. Meaning when you've connected with somebody, when you've built some rapport, their shoulders are squared up with you. Or look at their feet. Are their feet pointing away? Are their hands clenched? Is their voice flat? Are they standing back? Are their lips tight? Are their arms folded? These are things you're looking for. In fact, a cluster of these things to find out they're rejecting you. What about depression? That's important to know. How do you know when someone's depressed? Well, their chin drops. Their eyes tend to look down and their shoulders are a little slumped. Seems like they're ready to confess and tell you their life story and what's going wrong and how it's not fair. You might hear long sighs. You might see the corners of their mouth turned down. Sometimes even their elbows will be pulled in towards their body. It's critical that as you read people, you become a great person of influence and you can read their behavior, which increases your trust. This way you can adjust your message to connect with other people. And this way you know things that you're doing will cause a disconnect between you and the person you talk to, because that disconnect triggers incongruency, which triggers distrust. What about anger? Can you read anger? Anger is an important one that you need to know. Well, this is opposite of depression with the head. The head tilts up a little bit. You'll see this in the animal world. You'll see them squinting a little bit. Their jaw muscle will start to flex a little bit. This one, they tend to fold their arms a little higher than normal. You might see them grinding your teeth. Finger pointing, tapping, are all things you're looking for. Again, clusters. I mentioned clusters. Just because you see one of these things does not mean anger. And is it fake anger? Well, you need to understand what this looks like. Usually when someone tries to fake emotion, it lasts too long. Or there's a disconnect between what they say and the demonstration of the emotion. If they slam their hand down and then all of a sudden they start to look angry and say, I'm angry, there's a disconnect. Or when somebody smiles, do their eyes smile with you? Are they truly happy to see you? Those are the things you are looking for. Next one, indifference. This is important. That means you've lost them. They don't care anymore. You weren't very influential. You'll see the arms behind their neck. They'll tend to squirm a little bit. And the interesting one here is their facial muscles hang, which make them look a little bit older because all the emotions left. They're just tuned out, trying to be polite, waiting for you to shut up so they can go home. And another one you might notice here is the droopy eyes. This is another one they might be tapping on the desk or tapping their pen or tapping their hands on their legs. That is a sign of indifference. Next one, interested. How do you know when they're interested? Well, that's important. This one, you'll see them lean forward. You'll see a little sparkle in their eyes. Their head will nod up and down a little bit. Their voice will sound more interested. And you'll get better responses from your questions. They're more animated. You'll see a slight smile. Now you know you have them and they're interested in what you're talking about. You know there's a connection. You know you achieved congruence. Next one, confusion. This one's important too, because a confused mind says no. This one, you kind of see a kind of pucker, or their mouth tightens a little bit, the puzzled look in their eyes as their eyes squint. They're just confused. You might see a slight scowl. And be careful on this one, because most people won't admit their loss, or they don't understand what you're talking about. They'll just pretend that they did understand what you're talking about. And when you see this, there is no connection there, and you won't have trust. So you need to change up your presentation. Next one, deception. What do we know about deception? Well, this is an important one for you to understand, because you might be doing some of these things, and if you do any of these things, it will have a feeling, a subconscious trigger in the person that you're talking to, that you're lying to them, that there's incongruency, something's wrong. It could be a shift or a change or forced eye contact. Everyone knows that when you look away, you're lying. So people tend to force at you. They look at you more. It's almost like it's robotic. People that deceive tend to take up less space. They sit back in their chair. They try to get away from you a little more. Anytime you rub your lips, touch your ear, scratch your face, that is a subconscious trigger for deception. When your pupils dilate or the pitch of your voice changes, especially when it rises, those are all things that show you, hello, deception. Be careful that you're not doing these things. Now, you're probably not lying. You don't mean to do these things. I'm not saying you should be lying. I'm just saying sometimes you're doing things that cause people not to trust you, that raises the flag of incongruency. And here are a few you really need to watch out for. I could spend all day on detecting deception, but these are a few that you can watch right now. So let's talk about homework. First of all, trust increases when others can see your words match your actions. Remember that. That's congruence. Agreement and harmony in verbal and nonverbal messages increases your ability to influence. When congruence is lacking, there it is, ding, 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 red flag, it's raised. And either consciously or subconsciously, your listener will not give you his or her full interest or full trust. Most congruencies are found in body language. That's why I spent time to help you understand that. Countless studies demonstrate that when the body language is not congruent or in disagreement with the message, the body language will always be believed over the message. Whether you know it or not, you could be showing them signs of deception. Your body language must be congruent with your message and used to support or enhance your message. So this is what I want. This is your homework. Yes, your homework. I want you to record yourself, either with a video camera or an audio. It depends if you do most of your work face-to-face, in front of a group, over the phone. Record yourself, because what you're doing right or wrong is very different than what you actually think you're doing right or wrong. Watch it yourself, give yourself some feedback, and ask yourself, what am I doing right? What could I do better? I know it's painful. I know you don't like the sound of your voice. That's reality, but this is where true excellence comes from. Then find somebody you trust and have them listen or watch and have them give you feedback. And the key here is you get two or three people to watch it and you start getting the same feedback, then you know it's something you need to change and work on. Sure, it's easy to say, oh yeah, whatever. Do this. If you really want to increase your congruency and your trust level, you do this. As you can see, trust can be learned, trust can be mastered, and when you master these five C's of trust, you become unstoppable, you become more persuasive, you will be more successful, you'll increase your income, you will have better relationships, and understand, everything you want in life comes on the other side of persuasion, influence, and trust. Do this, master these skills, and it will change your life forever.